Tonight we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And Proverbs chapter 3, look with me in verses 3 and 4. Let not, all right, this is a couplet. You see these two words together often in Scripture. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, favor with God is more important than favor with man. But often what happens is people pursue favor with men because of the immediate advantages. They'll try to gain favor with princes because, obviously, people that are in positions of authority can dole out funds and make favorable judgments and so forth on your behalf. But ultimately, every man's judgment is from the Lord. And it's much more important to have favor with God and then through favor with God to find favor with man than it is to court favor with man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, for instance. And so I'm always intrigued by these passages that talk about having favor with God, because I think it's so important that you and I know throughout the day that we're not just the beneficiaries of His mercy and goodness and long-suffering and forbearance, but that we are favored by Him. And we should be concerned about that. I was listening to a video this morning of a doctor who is practicing in town. You know, if you're looking for a doctor, you can, some of the clinics and so forth, they actually do a little video and talk about things. And what was important to you, what was guiding to you in your life to bring you to this career? And he said, I always wanted to be in good favor with my dad. Very important to me that my dad was pleased. We should have that attitude about our Father in heaven, that we are concerned about favor with Him. All right. Well, in order to have favor with Him, we saw the last time we studied, you need righteousness. God is a God of righteousness, and He sees that in us. The second thing is this mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth. It is a beautiful couplet. Now you know that you are saved by God's mercy. You know that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And we would, I was thinking about it this morning as I was praying. I would not be here if it were not for the mercy of God. His long suffering, His forbearance, His mercy. You know, His mercy, His grace, He gives you what you don't deserve. His mercy, He doesn't give you what you do deserve. Amen? And I am so thankful for the mercy of God. I think in one place it's described as higher than the heavens. You do not have enough bad to exceed the mercy of God. Thank God. All right, but once we have been saved by His mercy, His mercy has been extended to us, and we are the beneficiaries of His mercy, and we recognize how much mercy He had to save us. And we begin to grow and we start being sanctified. We're sanctified by His truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you start getting cleaned up and so forth in your life, and you are becoming the new creature. I mean, you're already the new creature, but the evidence of you being a new creature is now evident in the fact that truth has begun to change your life, and you're not the person you used to be. And other people know you're not the person you used to be. Some of you may have seen somebody you hadn't seen in a few years, and they're like, "What happened to you?" Well, that's one of the greatest compliments in the world. I'm changed. I'm not the same man that I was, all right? That mercy and that truth have gone to work on you. Now He says, bind those around your neck. Write them on the table of thine heart, because those two things are going to bring you into favor with God and man. Don't you know when you extend the same mercy to somebody else that God has extended to you, You know, with the merciful, the Bible says, thou wilt show thyself merciful. We don't live in a very merciful society. I mean, if you do check in with the news to see what's going on, haven't you seen the vehemence, the criticism? I'm listening to an interesting book now on, of all things, the diesel engine. You're probably like, why are you concerned about that? I don't know. It's a great, but it's an interesting book. It's actually named for the guy that designed the engine. That was his last name, Diesel. And when he wrote his paper, theoretical paper, after doing some tests, that engine would work. You know, they were still in the steam engine day at that time. That engine would be more fuel efficient and would do far greater work than a small gasoline engine or a steam engine. Everybody just ridiculed him, criticized him, berated him, said he was crazy until the engine came out. And then they were willing to pay bunches to have the license to produce it. All right? Well, same way. You just live in a society where people are critical, they're vehement, they're rude, and all of a sudden if you come along and demonstrate mercy that's been demonstrated to you, that's a rare commodity. And the Lord said, that's what I want you to be. I want you to bind that around your neck. I want you to write that on the table of your heart. Why? Because I see in you what's in me. When you read Ephesians chapter 4 and you get to verse 31, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking with all malice be put away from you, right? Be you kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Yeah. You give it because you've received it. It's evident that you are really one of the beneficiaries of His mercy when you can be merciful with those who don't deserve it. Pardon me. So we need to extend mercy to others. We need, and then, not only are we merciful because mercy doesn't seem to have a boundary, does it? We also need to walk in truth. Because where are you going to hear truth today? Where are you going to see truth demonstrated today? So many people are so used to being lied to, they think it's strange if you tell them the truth, and they don't trust that you're telling them the truth when they're so used to hearing lies. But if you stand for the truth, you give the perfect mixture. Imagine talking to somebody that's steeped in a sin that God calls an abomination. You proclaim the truth with mercy, right? Not as a condemnation, not as a hate, but proclaim the truth with mercy where they can find mercy from the God of truth, and they reconcile with God and are no longer enemies of God. You've done something for them nobody else in the world can do or would do. So you bind those. You live under the sanctifying work of His truth, and you benefit, as I do every day, from His mercy. And then you extend that mercy and proclaim that truth to others. And you know what? You are in favor with God because that's what He's looking for. People that are like Him in relations with other people and with men. Because when somebody who has never received the mercy of God through salvation in Jesus Christ and has never walked in the truth to be where you and I are today, and they get there, let me tell you something. They're very, very grateful that you've done that. Because they need the truth and they need God's mercy. So be careful. Don't join in the bandwagon of those that are so critical and down on everything. I had a fellow today that came, I really like this guy. He comes once a year basically to clean up the trees. And they were delayed in getting started and I didn't know why. And I went out to visit with him when he came back. He said, well, I had to take one of my workers home today. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What was up? Negative attitude. I said, what? He said it was poisoning it was affecting everybody else on the job. You been around that before? Oh, it's horrible. And he said, you know, he was in tears by the time I dropped him off, but I think when I see him tomorrow, things are going to be a little better. Okay. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Okay. Good job. I mean, I complimented the guy. I said, I know that must have been a tough decision, but it was obviously the right one. He'll think this through and realize that wasn't the right way to be. All right. If you and I join in and we talk like the rest of the world, running down politicians and criticizing everything around and all that, then they're not going to see anything different in you. You know, don't exaggerate, don't lie, don't be a false witness. Tell the truth. That's the most refreshing thing they could have. And when it's coupled with mercy, oh, man. You know, once they get saved, you have a friend for life. And don't we, don't, I mean, I know how I am. I look forward to the fact that we can be together here on Wednesday and Sunday. I am strengthened in my fellowship with you. Yeah. This helps me. And to know I'm among people that have mercy and walk in truth, it's a good place to be. So that's why God's favorable. He says, that's how I've treated you. I never told you a lie. God cannot lie. I promised you eternal life. And I extended mercy to you even though you didn't deserve it. And when you do the same thing for somebody else, it's like, that's my child right there. And it's obviously in favor with men because they're not used to seeing something like that. And they need to. We're the people who can do that because we're the beneficiaries of the very same thing. And God says, I like that. You're in favor with me when you do that. Amen. Father, tonight we're very grateful for a simple instruction on something so very, very important as the simple truth of binding mercy and truth on our neck and writing it on the table of our heart. May we leave here consciously aware of the need to be this around those we meet and those we know. And we ask you to help us by that to be a good testimony and a faithful witness, that you might use that testimony and witness to stir the hearts of others to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. But we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.